It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hello, hello. Welcome one and all. It is April 7th, 2021, and look at that. I've got the right microphone and everything. Today has been an interesting day already. I woke up just in time to have a meeting because I'd forgotten about it. And so then I took a shower in the middle of the morning, practically, like 10 o'clock. It was very odd. It was unusual for me. And so it's kind of made the whole day a little fluffy, a little weird. Work anxiety, still high, but on the bright side, I only have meetings, like 3 or 4 meetings, so we'll get going. Anyway, let's start the way we always start. That's with
world news.
That's right, the world news. First up, Mozambique. We've talked about them a couple of times, Mozambique has asked the international community what support it needs to deal with an Islamic State-linked insurgency. But for reasons of sovereignty, it will tackle some aspects of the problem unassisted, its president said on Wednesday. Felipe Nyusi was speaking 2 weeks after an attack by insurgents on the coastal town of Palmer, near natural gas project worth tens of billions of dollars that are meant to transform the southern African country's economy. Southern African bloc SADC, that's Sierra Alpha Delta Charlie, is holding meetings on Wednesday and Thursday to consider a regional response to the insurgency, while the United States already has a small special forces team in Mozambique on a training mission. So, big surprise, the major imperialist power just happens to have a special forces training team near a multi-billion dollar natural resource. The government has said dozens died in the latest assault, and aid groups believe tens of thousands were displaced. French energy major Total withdrew all staff from its Afungi site outside Palma when the militants appeared to be approaching, but the army has since said the town is secure. So that's just kind of a little update there on what's going on there in Mozambique. We also have an update on the Taiwan train story. The runaway train that caused Taiwan's worst rail disaster in decades slid onto the train tracks just over a minute before an express train came through at more than 120 kilometers an hour, investigators have said, as newly released footage revealed the driver's attempts to brake. At least 50 people were killed and around 200 injured on Friday last week when the 8-car train hit a construction vehicle that had rolled down an embankment, derailing the carriages as they entered a stretch of tunnel just outside the east coast city of Hualien. There was a little over 1 minute between when the truck slid to the track and the Taroko Express hit it, according to our initial estimate, the chair of Taiwan's Transportation Safety Board said on Tuesday. As he showed a short clip of the train's dash cam footage rounding the corner and colliding with the truck, Young said the driver and assistant, both of whom died in the crash, had tried to brake but had just seconds to react. He tried his best in the hope of avoiding a disaster, he said. Young's, the guy that's head of the transportation board's name is Dr. Young Hong Su. Young said the train would have needed about 500 to 600 meters to come to a complete stop, but had less than half that. The train was traveling at about 125 kilometers an hour, but slowed only to 121 kilometers an hour before impact. After derailing, the front carriages were crushed and mangled against the tunnel walls, killing dozens and trapping some passengers for hours. As recovery crews continued efforts to clear wreckage from the tunnel, investigators have focused on a construction vehicle that was parked on the maintenance road above the track before rolling down the hillside. The truck driver, 49-year-old Li Yi Sang, has been detained, and prosecutors are seeking to determine if he failed to apply the handbrake or if there was a mechanical failure. On Sunday, Lee made a tearful apology, telling media, "I am deeply remorseful and want to express my most sincere apologies. I will cooperate with this investigation by police and prosecutors to take the responsibility I should take." Li Yang, convener of the board's investigation division, said investigators had determined the construction vehicle had arrived on site at 8:49 a.m., and other vehicles, including motorcycles and excavators, were also operating, despite rail authorities saying it had told all contractors to stop work for the long weekend. crash was the deadliest rail incident in decades and has devastated the people of Taiwan. Among the dead are entire families, children as young as 5, and people who died trying to protect loved ones from the impact of the crash. As of Tuesday night, all but one victim has been identified. There are still 35 people in the hospital, including several in intensive care. So this is a really, I don't know, I feel like this is such a tragic event, and it's got so much going on. It could be a movie or something, you know? It's just, it's wild how all the pieces came together for this tragedy to occur. So let's talk about something a little less bad. Let's go over here. This is from the BBC. A Buddhist monk has been freed from flooded cave in Thailand after 4 days. Thai rescue workers have freed a Buddhist monk from a flooded cave 4 days after he went inside to meditate. The monk, who was on a pilgrimage, entered the cave in Thailand's... this is going to be hard for me to say, but it looks like it's Phitsanulak province on Saturday, rescuers say. But an unseasonal rainstorm struck the area on Sunday, causing water levels to rise and flood the cave. A team of 17 divers from a local rescue unit helped to bring the monk out to safety on Wednesday. The monk, Fra Ajarn Manas, 46, makes a pilgrimage to the Fra Sai Ngam cave each year to sit in contemplation, a local rescue unit said in a Facebook post in Thai. But when he did not return after the heavy rain, residents in the area alerted authorities. Rescuers went in to find him on Tuesday, but had to call off the search due to rising water levels. The unit said they had no contact with the monk because there was no phone signal inside the cave, and the area could only be accessed by divers. They were concerned he may be exhausted or unconscious because of not having food at all. A team of 17 divers managed to reach the monk on Wednesday morning after the rain had stopped. At 11:30, we successfully rescued Fra Manas from the cave, the rescue unit announced on their Facebook page. Facebook's a big part of emergency and communication, it looks like, in Thailand, so that's kind of interesting. A video posted by rescuers showed the monk fitted with a diving mask making a 12-meter swim underwater. He was led out of the cave to safety and received treatment in an ambulance. The incident has similarities to the 2018 ordeal of the Wild Boars football team, when 12 boys and their football coach became stuck in a flooded cave in the northern town of Chiang Rai. Thai Navy SEALs and an international team of cave divers managed to rescue the boys and their coach. So yeah, I think that's good news. The monk was found safe and brought out and wasn't hurt. All right. So, you know what we need? We need some explosions. Here's an explosion story. Iranian spy ship damaged by explosion in the Red Sea. An explosion has damaged an Iranian cargo ship anchored off Yemen's Red Sea coast that is allegedly used by the Revolutionary Guards for spying, Iran's foreign ministry has confirmed. The blast that targeted the Saviz on Tuesday caused no casualties and was under investigation. The vessel was a civilian ship stationed there to secure the region against pirates, he added. The New York Times reported that Israel had told the United States it attacked the Saviz. Israeli officials did not comment, but it is the latest in a series of attacks on Israel and Iranian-owned ships for which the arch foes blame each other. And what was nice, or what I thought was kind of helpful, anyway, was a image or a map showing where Yemen is versus Saudi Arabia and where the Saviz was, or Saviz, in the Red Sea, because it kind of helps give an idea. I didn't realize there were so many islands in the Red Sea, so it's kind of neat. Anyway, Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh said the explosion that hit the Saviz at about 600 local time, or 300 GMT, on Tuesday caused only minor damage. Technical investigations about the incident and its cause are going on, and our country will take all necessary measures about it through international organizations. He said, Mr. Kavitsa said the Saviz was a non-military ship, which was helping to provide security along shipping lines. The ship was practically operating as Iran's logistical station in the Red Sea. Thus, the ship's information and mission had been already announced to the International Maritime Organization. Iran's semi-official Tasnim news agency cited unnamed sources as saying the explosion was caused by limpet mines attached to the hull of the ship. So anyway, I thought that was kind of neat. It's one of those beefs or argument, you know, these two countries don't like each other, but heck, I haven't heard a bunch of stories about Israel and Iran not getting along, so I thought it was worthwhile. It was news to me anyway. So Let's talk about Greenland. This is a political story, kind of environmental too, I guess. Greenland's left-wing anti-mine party wins snap elections. Greenland's main opposition party, which is against an international mining project involving uranium and other metals on the Arctic island, has emerged as the biggest party after winning more than a third of votes in an early parliamentary election. The left-leaning Community of the People Party, Inuit Ataqatigiit, secured 37% of the votes, entitling it to 12 seats in the Greenlandic National Assembly, the 31-seat Inatsisartut. Its biggest rival, the ruling center-left-forward Siumut Party, took a second spot with 29% of the votes, winning 10 seats. In a victory speech, Mutte Burup Egeti, the chair of Community of the People, pointed to themes that made his party running on a strong environmental agenda stand out among voters. There are two issues that have been important in this election campaign. People's living conditions is one, and then there is our health and the environment, said Egeti, a 34-year-old native of Nuuk, Greenland's capital, reported the Greenlandic public broadcaster KNR, that's Kilo November Romeo. At the heart of the election was a proposed international mining project by Greenland Minerals, an Australia-based company with Chinese ownership, which is seeking a license to operate the Kvandafjeld mine in southern Greenland. Apart from uranium, estimates show the Kvandafjeld mine could hold the largest deposit of rare earth metals outside China, which accounts for more than 90% of global production. The calculation has led to international interest in Greenland's natural resources. Yeah, no doubt. The election results could create a power shift and an end to Forward's almost continual hold on power at the top of politics in Greenland since 1979. Erik Jensen, the chair of Forward, conceded the party's defeat and congratulated Egeti and his party on winning the election. "We must listen to the voters who are worried. We say no to uranium mining," Egeti said in a statement on KNR. Without an absolute majority in Parliament, the Community of the People's Party is now likely to seek to form a coalition with a group of smaller parties rather than with Forward. So, this is pretty neat. I didn't realize that this was rare earth, too. I thought it was just about uranium. So, that's super cool. It would be really great if there was diversity in who has access to or who controls the rare earths used in all of our super high-power magnets and stuff like that. All right, let's get back into the depressing stuff. Russian police detained supporters of Kremlin critic Navalny, including his doctor. Russian police detained 9 people outside of a prison holding Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny on Tuesday, as a small group of his supporters came to the facility and authorities turned away a doctor who tried to see him. Navalny, age 44, an opponent of President Vladimir Putin, announced a hunger strike last week in protest at what he said was a refusal of prison authorities to treat him properly for acute back and leg pain. Some allies had said they would protest from Tuesday at the prison in the town of Pokrov, about 100 kilometers east of Moscow, unless he saw a doctor of his choice and was given proper medicine. The prison has said his health is satisfactory, that he has had all necessary medical care. Navalny's wife, Yulia, said she had received a letter from prison authorities dated March 17, saying he did not have his passport with him and that this could prevent him being admitted to hospital if ill. Anastasia Vasilieva, a Navalny ally who leads a doctor's trade union, was turned away at the prison, although she said she had an appointment with the senior prison official and wanted to see Navalny and check on his health. "All her peaceful actions don't work," she said. Police said 9 people had been taken into custody for flouting public order. Security at the prison had been tightened earlier on Tuesday. Navalny said on Monday he had a high temperature and bad cough, and that 3 inmates in his ward had been admitted to hospital with tuberculosis. Pro-Kremlin newspaper Izvestia later cited the state prison service as saying Navalny had been moved to a sick bay and tested for COVID-19. So we talked about this on Monday, but yeah, not looking so good for Navalny. I think they're going to let him get sick and suffer.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right. We'll get to the music here. Today's song coming up is another Blaze Foley song, but it is... I don't know how to describe it. Let's see. I can't access the metadata here. But it's about cheeseburger and good French fries. It's a song that I think fits because my lunch should be here just about at 1900 UTC, and that'll be perfect. I figured this is a good time now to just take a break and say thanks for listening. You're listening to Anon Radio. It's powered by the SDF Public Access Unix system. So anonradio.net is where you can go to listen to the shows, see all the schedule. You can even figure out how to become a DJ at anonradio.net. If you'd like to join in COM or participate in SDF, just go to sdf.org. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot.org, and you'll be on your way. It's pretty rad. I like SDF a lot. Then you can go to COM and join us there. Just type COM, C-O-M at the terminal, and then G for go to, and type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you can hang out and talk. And one of the funnest things to do is to play along and just participate in the committee meetings at the Dubious Goals Committee, which happens every single day at 1930 UTC, hosted by the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee himself, Tobe. So stick around for that. That happens at 1930 UTC, and that's probably 14 minutes or so from now. So heck yeah. All right, let's go through. I think we got time for one more story before Mr. Blaze starts talking. So let's talk about this. Kim Jong-un says North Korea faces its worst ever situation. Kim Jong-un says North Korea is facing its worst ever situation and called on grassroots members of the ruling Workers' Party to be more proactive and responsible in carrying out the country's new five-year economic plan. The comments reported by state media on Wednesday came as experts warn Kim is facing perhaps his toughest moment as he approaches a decade in rule, with North Korea's coronavirus lockdown unleashing further shock on its sanctions-battered economy. This is Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Official Korean Central News Agency said Kim made the comments during an opening speech at a meeting of the Workers' Party cell secretaries on Tuesday, improving the people's living standards even in the worst ever situation in which we have to overcome. Nope. That's it. Here comes the song. Talk to you soon.
I got an angel of a woman with big brown eyes, got friends in the country, and old neckties, love big cheeseburgers and good french fries. Could go fishing, but the fish draw flies. Could go swimming if it ain't too deep. Rather to sit here and rest my feet. No, I ain't lazy, cause I don't like to sleep. Might just be lazy to you. I wanna live in the city, have a telephone. I wanna live in the country, throw my dog a bone. Ride on a spaceship, I wanna get lost. Mom still tell me about the penny it costs. I ride a bicycle, but my ass gets sore. Sell a holy Bible from door to door. Used to be stupid, but ain't no more. Might just be stupid to you. Out in the bars, don't like buses and don't like cars, don't like presidents, don't like stars, never had stitches but I do got scars, love to go to parties and love my friends, got no books, just got bookends, think I'm crazy but that depends, don't seem that crazy to me. Well, the story's old, been said before, it's all there is to it, here's some more. Friend coming over from a liquor store, Joey danced till his feet get sore. I love my woman and my woman love me, don't go skiing cause I can't ski. That kind of thing never did bother me, so it shouldn't be bothering you. Got an angel of a woman with big brown eyes, got friends in the country and old neckties, love big cheeseburgers and good french fries. Could go fishing, but the fish draw flies. Could go swimming if it ain't too deep. Rather to sit here and cool my feet. No, I ain't lazy cause I don't like to sleep. Might just be lazy to you. Might just be stupid to you. Don't seem that crazy to me, but it shouldn't be bothering you.
Heck yeah. Man, I don't know what it is or why, but like Blaze Foley just resonates with me in a special kind of way. It might just be because I'm getting older. Maybe, I don't know. Something's happening. I've just been into the outlaw country guys the last couple of weeks. Anywho, we've got about 10 minutes to go. So 10 minutes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hey, what do you know? We've got 10 minutes, 10 stories. Let's get through it. EU drug regulators have found a link between AstraZeneca vaccine and blood clots. Europe's drug regulator on Wednesday found a possible link between AstraZeneca's vaccine and rare blood clotting issues in adults who'd received the shot and said it had taken into consideration all available evidence. One plausible explanation for the combination of blood clots and low blood platelets is an immune response leading to a condition similar to one seen sometimes in patients treated with heparin. Heparin, which is spelled H-E-P-A-R-I-N. That's Hotel Echo Papa Alpha Romeo India November. So I don't know what that is, but you can look it up for yourself if you'd like. The findings come as a major hurdle in the global fight against the pandemic and a shift in the stance of the regulator, which had last week backed the vaccine and said there was no increased risk of blood clots. It is also a blow to AstraZeneca, which is a front-runner in the race for making an effective vaccine against COVID-19 ever since it began working with the University of Oxford. The EMA's European Medicines Agency, Safety Committee, which was assessing the vaccine, has requested for more studies and changes to the current ones to get more information. AstraZeneca has a particularly gnarly history, so I'm not particularly sad that they're going to suffer a big setback with that. Let's talk about some U.S. news, because there are some cool stories. First, U.S. is going to restore about $150 million in aid to Palestinians. The Biden administration plans to unveil a package of about $150 million in U.S. aid to Palestinians, restoring part of the assistance that was cut off by Donald Trump. People familiar with the matter announced on Wednesday. The aid, mostly to be provided through the United Nations Relief Agency, UNWRA, United Nations, so Uncle November Whiskey Romeo Alpha, is expected to be announced by the State Department as soon as Wednesday as part of an effort to repair U.S. ties with the Palestinians that all but collapsed during Trump's tenure. Joe Biden has made clear he intends to roll back part of his Republican predecessor's approach that Palestinians denounced as heavily biased in favor of Israel. Biden's aides have also signaled they want to reestablish the goal of a two-state party solution as a priority in U.S. policy on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but they have moved cautiously so far, and any major steps are likely to wait for the dust to clear after Israel's inconclusive March election, which will be followed by Palestinian elections scheduled in coming months. This will be interesting because since the United States has kind of all but just said backed Israel and everything, and then kind of just held talks, but then let Israel do whatever it wanted on the West Bank, there's not a lot of the West Bank left. You know, the amount of loss or the amount of concessions that Israel would have to make increases as they continue to take over, steal Palestine's land. So we'll see how that plays out, I guess. Alright, so you may have seen the video. I'm not sure. I think we talked about it briefly, or it might have been like a last story as the exit music played. But there was a woman who was attacked in New York, and then the doorman just went and closed the door and walked away and didn't help her and just left her bleeding on the sidewalk. Well, the two doormen have been fired after they allegedly failed to intervene as Asian American woman was being attacked. The 65-year-old woman was admitted to hospital after she was punched and kicked repeatedly. CCTV video of the attack appeared to show staff at the Manhattan building watching without intervening. The Brodsky Organization, owners of the building, said that the men assisted the woman after the attacker left. The incident comes amid a rise in anti-Asian crimes in the wake of a pandemic, including a deadly attack in Atlanta. There's been a lot of hate towards Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders in the United States and just around the world, and it's infuriating, and it's really something that I don't know. Anyway, I'm not sure how to fight this kind of stuff. It's like there's a lot of hate spewing, bubbling up out of the ground, it seems like, all over the country, and I don't know what to do other than just love everybody and try and put good in the world. Anyway, if you know any ways to help, let me know. I'm on Mastodon. I'm on the Tildeverse Mastodon. So I'm mnw@tilde.zone. I tried to run my own Mastodon instance. That didn't work out so well. I'll probably run it again if I can get Google Fiber at home. But that's another big if. All right, Amnesty International condemns rich countries for hoarding COVID-19 vaccines. Richer countries are failing a rudimentary test of global solidarity by hoarding COVID vaccines, Amnesty International said Wednesday, as it accused China and others of exploiting the pandemic to undermine human rights. In its annual report, the campaign rights organization said the health crisis had exposed broken policies and the cooperation was the only way forward. The pandemic has cast a harsh light on the world's inability to cooperate effectively and equitably, said Agnes Callamard, who was appointed Amnesty's Secretary General last month. The richest countries have effected a near monopoly on the world's supply of vaccine, leaving the countries with the fewest resources to face the worst health and human rights outcomes. Amnesty strongly criticized decisions by former U.S. President Donald Trump to withdraw Washington from the World Health Organization in the midst of a pandemic, a step now reversed by Trump's successor Joe Biden. Calamard called for an immediate acceleration of the global vaccine rollout, calling the inoculation campaign a most fundamental, even rudimentary test of the world's capacity for cooperation. The article goes on, but you can read more about it at AFP, France24.com. AFP is, I think, the French name for what France 24 kind of is. All right, so we got two bit longer stories. I thought, oh man, if I do one less story, I can do a long story. Yeah, right. That's not how it works. I talk slowly, or I talk a lot and don't say much. I'm not sure. Anyway, big thank you for tuning in. It means a lot. It's a lot of fun. All right. So here are the two stories. You can read these up later. So bostonreview.net is not a site I normally read, but it was linked to from the World Socialist website, an anti-racist agenda for medicine. Colorblind solutions have failed to achieve racial equity in healthcare. We need both federal reparations and real institutional accountability. This is by Bram Wispelwy and Michael Morse. And it's long, but it's definitely worth a read. It talks about race and the role it plays in medicine, and how racism and unconscious bias kind of sneak in there. So I definitely encourage you to check that out. And the other piece of news to mention here is from our friends at the World Socialist website. That's Whiskey Sierra, WhiskeySierra.org. United Mine Workers announces sellout deal, sparking opposition among striking Warrior Met coal miners in Alabama. The United Mine Workers of America, or UMWA, announced Tuesday that it had reached a tentative deal for a new labor agreement with Warrior Met Coal in central Alabama and was moving to end the strike by 1,100 miners that began on April 1st. The UMWA has not released any details of the agreement, which is supposed to be presented to striking miners Wednesday before they vote on it Friday, with less than 48 hours to study and discuss the agreement. Less than a week ago, UMWA President Cecil Roberts claimed that union and company negotiators were at loggerheads and that Warrior Met Coal was going backwards regarding a fair agreement that recognizes the sacrifices members and their families made to keep this company alive. Since then, the company has shown no signs of conceding anything. On the contrary, it's brought in strikebreakers, which had been escorted through the miners' picket lines by armed private security guards and Alabama state troopers. So, yeah, this is a real something I want to mention. The World Socialist website has really become a great resource for labor events, a lot of strikes and stuff like that. They have a lot of stories about various labor actions happening. And they're especially harsh for the UAW, United Auto Workers. But definitely, if you're interested in what's happening with labor unions and their oppression, it's worth checking out. I definitely, I like them. Any deal reached? Oh, so we can go back here. Less than a week ago, blah, doo-doo, and troopers. Any deal reached on this basis by the UMWA, which has a long record of corporatist collusion with the coal companies, can only be another sellout, which rank-and-file miners should resolutely reject. On social media, Warrior Met miners denounced Roberts and called for a no vote. One worker commented, "Union brothers and sisters, stand your ground. In 2016, the UMWA said they fought for us. All they did was line their pockets and screw everyone else. They allowed the company to hand us the shit contract. They don't let them talk to you." And another one saying, "This is the best we can get." Say no and stop the coal. So I stand with all the oppressed people in the world. Thanks a lot
for
listening.
That sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.